As I fix my mic here, we need to make sure that this first part is kind of heady. It's a little theological. If you don't get a ton of application out of it, don't worry, because that's just the way books are. Sometimes there's a setting up of the book in order to get into the book, but let me tell you what, once Galatians gets rolling, there will be application after application after application. So, who is an apostle? That is the biggie. Now, I'm going to give you the application right off. Okay? This is vital. It's not really vital that you know how many apostles that there are, how many disciples that there are, if Paul was one or not. I'm going to give you some information today that I think is pertinent about Paul. But the application that you make through this is the apostolic time period is over. There is no apostolic succession. Now, and the reason why I say that is because there are churches today that believe that they're apostles. In fact, if you turn to channel 74, wow. A lot of people calling themselves apostles, isn't there? And it's kind of a self-proclaimed thing. And all of a sudden it gives these guys like authority, and I'm like, who are you? Who do you think that you are? And so it's very important that we know some things about the Word, and we're going to see here that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And since that time, we have been building. Okay, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets of the first century, that's what the church was built upon, and their time is over. And so now we are building up upon that. And so when people come up to you and say, yeah, my name's Apostle Kennedy, or the Reverend Apostle James, whatever. Come on, really? All right. So that's one of the applications that we can have. Okay, let's look at Paul here. Paul's kind of interesting, and we want to keep going here about what he's talking about in Galatians 11 through 24. The places that he's talking about in Galatians 24 and all the way through that first part, Galatians 1, 11 through 24, is Syria and Cilicia. Those are the places where he is known in the regions. Okay? But he is not known to the churches of Judah, and that's where the 12 apostles are at. See, now, what's Paul's whole problem here? What is the argument that he's answering? What are these people saying about Paul? You're not an apostle. They're trying to take away his authority so that they can promote their false gospel. See, if I wanna discredit Joe here, the first thing I'm gonna do to discredit Joe, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, is I'm gonna go after his character. I'm gonna say lies. Like, you know, I saw Joe down at Tuxedo's. And so, because he's down there, you shouldn't listen to him. Or because he's this, you shouldn't listen to him. Or because he does these things, you shouldn't listen to him. And so that's what these guys are doing to Paul. They're taking away his character. All right. Paul's reputation amongst the churches is he was the persecutor, had now become the proclaimer. And now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about this a little bit, and we said, we've known people like this, right? They've been agnostics, people that have been atheists, agnostics, who are totally against religion, totally against the gospel, and now they promote the gospel as much as they resisted it before. As much as they said the opposite, now they're just the very opposite, and they're promoting the gospel, promoting the gospel, promoting the gospel. That's what Paul was like. Now, the response, though, to the churches is that they're afraid. They were first afraid. Barnabas brought Paul. Barnabas was like Paul's right-hand man. Everybody knew Barnabas. So if Barnabas said Paul's okay, that must mean what? Paul's okay. Something has happened. And that's where they were full of joy. They had now become tremendously full of joy. Okay, here we go. Let's look at some of the verses. I love to do this. Now, I'm using some of the Net Bible stuff, and I'll probably go back to the New King James next week, but sometimes I like to change it up a little bit. Here's Acts 9:26. It says, when he arrived in Jerusalem, that's Paul, he attempted to associate with the disciples, and they were what? Afraid. They were terrified of him, because what did Paul do? Yeah, big time. As fervent as he was for Christianity, that's how fervent he was against Christianity before he was saved. He would track you down. And he would not only throw the husband in jail, but he would throw the parents in jail, and he would sell the kids. The kids would be up for... See, back then they didn't have adoption agencies. They didn't have foster parents. And so the kids were just sold. Can you imagine the burden Paul had to carry around his life? How many Christians did he put in prison? He can't get out. He can't help them now. How many did he kill? And that was the burden he came. And so they were all afraid of him because they did not believe that he was a disciple. They did not believe. Okay? I love how people try to... And this week I was going through my 150 verses of salvation. I have 150 verses on... Well, it's pretty close to 150. But it's all about belief. 150 different times God tells us about belief. And if you want me to send that to you, I could. Just let me know. But it's interesting here with belief. Belief is so simple. Belief is just belief. And people try to confuse it. Here, they didn't believe he was a disciple. What does that mean? Let's be simple. What does it mean? They didn't believe. Belief is belief. If you don't believe somebody, like I could sit there and I say, I don't believe my brother here is a man. I believe he's a woman. Which he's not. But I mean, you would be like, wow, Kennedy, you got some messed up belief systems. But see, belief is very simple, guys. It's just belief. Belief is very... Here, they did not believe he was a disciple. That means they didn't believe he was a disciple. To believe in Jesus means you believe who he said he said he is. That's belief. Don't let anybody pull your chain on what belief is. Acts 9:27 continues. It says, but Barnabas, there's Paul's right-hand man, took Saul, who's Saul? Paul, before he was Paul. Brought him to the apostles and related to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Okay. Next time I'll use white. Acts 9:28. So he was staying with them, associating openly with them in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. All of this is in the book of Acts. Okay, so here's our first number. Here's our first point, our first outline. Apostleship in the New Testament, and we already have gone over this a couple weeks ago. In the New Testament version of apostle, it means very simply a sent one, a messenger. And so from that definition, an ambassador could be an apostle. Anybody with a message sent to represent that message could be an apostle. Well, that's the definition, but there are a lot of other things that go with that. And these are the things that we want to see. Okay, so this is first. Here's the apostles, the 12. I got Peter, got Andrew, got James, we got John, we got James of Alphaeus, Judas, the brother of James, we don't have time to go into that today, but there is a little bit of discrepancy there. Some say the son, and some say the brother. I'm not quite sure how that works out, so don't ask me. There's probably a way, and it probably has to do with Thaddeus. Then there's Thomas. We all know Thomas. Thomas is what's called what? Good night. Is the past the present? You guys realize you're using a 2,000-year-old term? Doubting Thomas. Don't be a what? Wow. Matthew, Philip, Nathaniel, Simon the Zealot, Matthias, and then Paul makes what? Got a problem here, don't we? Well, because some people think Paul is part of the 12. Interesting. Well, let's go back there for a second. When did Matthias come in? Exactly. He took Judas's place. Acts chapter 1. There were two different guys that they were going to pick, and they threw lots, and Matthias's one came up. You know what's interesting with Paul? Paul never disputes Matthias's apostleship. He never disputes it. Now we're going to see what Paul was. We're going to see what kind of apostle Paul was. Oh, went the wrong direction. Boom. Okay, number two. Apostles were only given... So far we got number one, a sent one, a messenger. Number two is apostles were only given after Christ's what? Ascension. Okay? That's when they entered the church. That's when they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. Now, there was the 12 before that, but we're talking about apostles now. And let's look what it says here. Verse Ephesians 4:11. It was Christ who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers to do what? Remember, this is a big passage. What was their job? To build up who? Yeah, to build up a church. To build up the body to do the work of the ministry. See, we're all ministers. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. I know we kind of tag the paid guy as the minister. That's the minister. We pay that guy. Well, no. Wow. Okay. Number three, it's a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. Being an apostle is a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says this, "And God placed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helps, gifts of leadership, different kinds of tongues, etc., etc." There's a whole big list there in that whole chapter of 12, and some people say, well, wait a minute, that's the church age, and then there's apostles, why can't they be for today? Well, there are a lot of things that can, and see, that's the one thing about Scripture, folks, is not everything is for that time period. Okay? As we're going to see here, the apostles were the foundation. They had to be eyewitnesses of Jesus, as we're going to see here in a minute. And that is not possible today, because where is Jesus? Exactly. At the right hand of the Father. Now, are there gifts of healing today? I believe that. Are there miracles? Yep. The tongues thing? Languages? Okay. Possibly. Different languages. Different known languages. Well, let's keep going. Number four. If you're an apostle, this is what's amazing, is these people that stand up on Channel 74 and say that they're apostles. What is their confirmation gifts? What is the gifts? What have they done? What miraculous? Have they raised the dead? Healing. You know. You know. It's funny with that whole healing thing, and we've talked about this before. is you have to be very careful with healing, because demonic things can also heal too, can they not? The Antichrist is able to do incredible miracles. Now, what's fascinating with all these faith healers is it's always this type of healing. But in the name of Jesus, that tumor that nobody can see is healed. That condition that you have is healed. How many times have you seen on the TV somebody that actually has a deformed hand suddenly become like that again? Never. Where they can actually document it. Where a leg literally starts to straighten back out again. Or somebody that has crippled legs suddenly become full and they can stand. You don't see that, do you? It's always something subjectively invisible. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not saying that these things don't take place, but I'm picking on those that are making money off the gospel. The hustlers. Okay? It's all subjective. It's all very subjective. So there were signs. Now look at what the scriptures say, Acts 2:4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who's they? Okay? A lot of the disciples, there's 150 of them at that time, and all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, that word for other languages is tongues. It's not a static babble. It's languages, known languages. And they even give a list of the languages that are there. Acts 2:43, and here's the result of all that. Reverential awe came over everyone, and many wonders and miraculous signs came about by who? The apostles. See, this was God's way of showing to Israel that this is the real deal. I will speak to you in unknown languages, and still you will not believe. The blind I will heal. The deaf will hear. The mute will speak. The lame will walk. These are huge ones, folks. We're not talking about somebody who's got this fatty tumor condition that suddenly is like, I think it's gone. It's gone. We're talking about people who are documented who could not see that now can see. We're talking about people that was documented that could not walk, that now their legs are straightened and can walk. Do you ever see somebody who doesn't ever use their legs, what happens to their legs? The apathy. Totally just degenerate, and they look like they could never stand. Well, folks, the lame to walk meant the bones were strengthened again. And the muscles were strengthened. I believe God added bone, and I believe he added muscle when he healed those legs. Yeah. The deaf to hear. Whoever hears of that stuff? Oh, my goodness. The blind to see? Wow. So that's some of the things. Okay, here's the biggie. Oh, this one's huge. Eyewitness of Jesus. In order to be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ, okay? Well, 1 Corinthians 9:1 says, here's Paul. Here's Paul talking. He's defending his apostleship. He says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? What's the one requirement? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? You put those two things together. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus as Jesus Christ our Lord? That goes hand in hand. In order to be an apostle, you had to have had that happen. When did Paul have that happen? Yep, chapter 9 of Acts. On the road to Damascus. Now, what's fascinating about that whole thing is, what did everybody else that was with him hear? Nothing, except maybe thunder. Isn't that fascinating? Something happened, but see, unbelievers cannot know the things of God. They call them what? Wisdom or foolishness? Foolishness. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is awesome. So Paul is putting a big one there. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? That's some of the things of the apostleship. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 10. And that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. What's happening? They saw him. They're seeing him. Okay? There he is. There's Jesus. He appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time. Most of those who are still alive, though, some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, the half-brother of Jesus. Then to all the apostles. Once again, he appears to the apostles. And last of all, as though one born at the wrong time, he appeared to me also. For I am least of the apostles. But because Paul saw him as these others, he is an apostle. He's unworthy, he says, to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. He worked harder than Peter? Yep. Worked harder than James? Yeah. Yeah, Paul was the big player of the New Testament. I said a couple weeks back that Paul was the New Testament Moses. Okay? And what I meant by that is not the New Testament lawgiver. I simply meant that Paul plays such a big part in the New Testament that he's like Moses. Moses plays a huge part in the Old Testament. In fact, he writes five of the first books. Moses writes from Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy and Numbers. He writes all those books. Moses, 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 Moses. And it's almost like God always has his player, his one big player in both of the Testaments. And Paul is the big player in the New Testament. Look and see how many books Paul wrote. A lot. Lot of books. So he's a big, big player. Okay, here's number six. And this is a biggie. And this is why, guys, we have to be careful about who we call an apostle today. Because look at what they can do. The apostles were able to say to Ananias, drop dead. The apostles were able to say to his wife, drop dead. They had absolute doctrinal authority over the early churches. Do you know, can you see now why on Channel 74 you want to be an apostle? It's a big power grab, isn't it? Huge power grab. And here's what I found about people in church. And I don't quite understand this because Jesus never taught this. A lot of people get into church because I think they had a bad high school experience. Now, I know Carol's like, what did you just say? A lot of people get into power positions in the church because they had a bad high school experience. Now, I'm just being silly, but you understand the point I'm making. They just weren't the popular person in school. They never have been the popular person in school. And so they get into the church, and they've got a little biblical wisdom, and people start to look at them as the what? Popular person, and they like it. Because they like that power. And they like that rush. But what did Jesus say about power? What did Jesus say about serving? To humble ourselves. He said he came as a servant. Therefore, who do you think you are? And see, people get into this thing, and I've always told people this, and I've said this ever since I've been here. If you want a power position, go join the PTA. Or go lead Boy Scouts. Or be a politician. If you really want to get into a whole power trip, go be a politician, and you have some power, some weight you can throw around. Be a mayor. There you go. But don't come in here, as we've always said, and try to throw your weight around. And I think this is a biggie. This is a biggie. It's just another way that some people who have a power trip want to get power. Well, guess what? I'm an apostle. Now, the minute they say that, most Christians are not, they don't have the rhino skin to confront somebody like that. Most Christians do what? Well, boy, I don't want to mess around if it's true. You know, that's how deceivers get into the church. Because we just all go, well, it could be from God. Well, that's funny, because if we can't test things, then what good is it? The Bible says, examine everything, hold fast only to that which is good. You're to doubt those things. You're to prove those things. Even the things that are from God, He expects you to prove. You're not just to take it and say, wow, that was supernatural, that must be God. Or that person's a great speaker, that must be from God. You're not to do that. So I guess there's a little application we can get out of this. I knew I would find something by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul executed absolute doctrinal authority over the early church. Peter did, James did, John did. They were big time. Look at this. I want us to see this. This is actually a quote from Ron Merriman, but he said, the word of God in the canon is now the absolute authority. If not, then absolute chaos would reign with every self-proclaimed apostle. The word of God would still be open to any addition. There is no apostolic succession. Do you see the danger here? If I claim that I'm an apostle, then that means I have absolute direct communication from God, just like these guys did who wrote the scriptures, which means my word is what? Scripture. And folks, that is happening all over the place. Now, it's happening all over the place. These people come up, they say that they're prophets, they're apostles, or whoever they are, and they're literally rewriting scripture. Their word that comes out of their mouth is the same as that you would see there. Can you imagine the control that I could exert if I taught that? Because who that is sincere wants to disobey God? And so if these people are saying, this is God's word, and you better what? In other words, what they're saying is, this is my word, and I want the power, and you better listen to who? Me. But see, that's the way cults work, folks. That's the way every person who's ever worked that has corrupted people, that's the way they work. My word is the uncontested authority in this church. You cannot contest it because God put me here. And God's words are my words. Wow. Mark, how would you do if I started teaching that? But it happens in many churches. I can name them. Oh yeah, I could name them. There is no apostolic succession, folks. Look at this. Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Here it goes. Because you have been built on the what?
Foundation.
The foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Anybody knows how to build a house? Anybody knows that what do you have to lay first? The foundation, and in the old days, you laid that cornerstone in there, and that's what supported everything. And then what did you do on top of the foundation? You built. But once the foundation is laid, that's the foundation. And so the church for 2,000 years has been being built on the foundation of the apostles and on the foundation of the prophets. Now, we're not talking Old Testament prophets. We're talking New Testament prophets. Prophets and apostles of the New Testament, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Okay, now we get into the theological kind of... Does your salvation depend on where you think Paul is one of the 12? No. No. This is just for your education, to help you see the whole concept of apostleship, which I believe we have to cover. We got to cover it. Five reasons why Paul should not be seen as one of the 12, which was completed in Matthias. Now, there is a key word here, and it's the number what? You're going to see this over and over again. The 12. The 12. The 12 were apostles, but so was who? Paul. Okay. I think that's where people get confused. Okay. Here's an Acts 1:21. This is where they do the whole thing, okay? Thus, one of the men who have accompanied us during what? All the time the Lord associated with us. There's a key. There's a key right there, apostles. Beginning from his baptism by John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness of his resurrection together with us. Nobody else can be one of the 12. So, somebody who was a witness all the way from the baptism of John, where John baptized him, until he was taken up, ascended. The resurrected Christ, the known Christ, we walked with Jesus, we saw Jesus, he rose from the dead, we were taught by Jesus. That's the type of person we need for this ministry to take the place of who? Judas. Because now there's only how many? 11. So they proposed two candidates, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also called Justice. It had so many names. And then Matthias. Well, we know the story. Then they prayed, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to assume the task of this service and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. Then they cast lots for them, and the one chosen was Matthias. So he was counted with the 11 apostles, which now makes it what? 12. Acts 2:14. Now here's another one. This is a number. Now I want you to think in your mind, can the Holy Spirit count? Yes, the Holy Spirit can count. He can count. Now notice, Acts 2:14. This is way into it now. Peter stood up with the 11, which makes it how many with Peter? There we go again. Okay? And address them. You men of Judah and all you who live in Jerusalem, know this and listen carefully to what I say. He was getting ready to do the whole sermon. Okay? Now we're skipping ahead to Acts 6:2. So the 12 called the whole group of the disciples together and said, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God and to wait on tables. There's that word again, that number word, which is what? Okay. And I wrote down, did Luke in these passages write them by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can the Holy Spirit count? Yes. Whose names are the names in Revelation? Does 12 mean 12 or 13? Here we go. Look at Revelation. Revelation's 20:21-12. What are we talking about here? The new what? The new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. It has a massive high wall with how many gates? Does 12 mean 12? Okay. With how many angels? And how many tribes? You think Do you see the point that I'm making here? 12. Not 13. This is not figurative, like raining cats and dogs is figurative. 1,000 years means 1,000 years, and 12 means 12. Okay, now I had to do a little bit of math here. But guess what number I came up with? 12. It took me a couple minutes. I went, let's see, three gates on the... one, two, three, four. Oh, four times three is 12. Oh, how cool is that? Right on. All right. Three gates in the west, three gates in the north. How many foundations? You sure it's not 13? There's not figurative? 12 just kind of means, 12, 13, 20, We'll just, no, it means exactly 12. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them, the 12, how many names? 12 names of, it's not 13, it's 12. Paul's not on there. Paul's name won't be on there. It's only 12. But who was Paul? Yeah, he was. And he was a big apostle. If he wasn't, then you might as well throw out about three quarters of the New Testament. Because Paul wrote from Romans all the way to Philemon. And some people think he wrote Hebrews. I don't think he wrote Hebrews, but that's okay. I think it was Barnabas. But that's a pretty good chunk, isn't it? Count how many books. How many books is that? Yeah. How many books in the New Testament? Total? 27? Low whippers. See, you guys are so good at math. You know, you were the curve busters. The people that I did not like. If you weren't in my classes, I would have gotten B's or at least C's. But no, you were in my class. You were in my class, and you would get 100%, which would take the curve way up. And then my 50 actually was an F instead of a C. Oh, man. I can remember some of those math papers. I'd get it back, and the worst tests I ever took were the ones I thought I was getting everything right. I was whipping away going, right on. Yeah, I got that. Oh, this is super easy. 20 out of 100. How? Well, just red. All I remember seeing red everywhere. It was miserable. Okay. Yeah. That's right, Tom. It do. And I got all the way to 12th grade where most of us graduated at 8th. Paul himself, writing under inspiration, he calls them the 12. Those who say Paul is the 12 have more revelation than Paul did. 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Who's talking here? Paul. Here's another one from Ron Merriman. Paul has a special calling to the Gentiles. He never speaks against Matthias. He simply maintains that his apostleship is unique and not any lesser quality than the 12. Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference. And this, it's important to know so you know what's going on in the book of Galatians, because there were people that were coming in that were attacking Paul's apostleship. They were bringing up questions that I just brought up. You aren't one of the 12. You didn't really see Jesus. Yes, I did, on the road to Damascus. Oh, come on, that's kind of, what? To take away his authority so they could screw up the Galatians in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of Galatians 8 says, "For he who empowered Peter for his apostleship to the circumcised also empowered me for my apostleship to the Gentiles." So Paul was a special deal. He was big time special. And just because his name is probably not on the 12 gates does not mean that he has huge rewards in heaven. Because I would like any of us in here to try to compare yourselves to Paul. He took more heat than any of the disciples, any of the apostles. He bore more battle scars than any single one of them. You could probably combine all of their scars and burdens together, and they would probably equal Paul's. You read that in Corinthians. Then he appeared to James and the apostles. Last of all, as though one born at the wrong time, he appeared to me also, for I am least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But still, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach is not of human origin. Galatians 1, 11 through 17. I want to finish these last verses real quick. For I did not receive it or learn it from any human source. Instead, I received it by what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Something special, folks. He didn't learn it from anybody else. Now, all of us in here have had teachers that have taught us, correct? All of us in here had somebody, maybe a track or a presentation or something that led us to Jesus Christ. None of us in here had Jesus come down and say, here's the gospel. I want to tell you about the gospel, bud. Okay, Jesus, then the Spirit opened our eyes. The Holy Spirit opened our eyes so we could receive the gospel, but usually it was done by an ambassador, somebody who had the gospel on their lips. For you have heard my former way of life in Judaism, how I was savagely persecuting the church of God. And that word there we found out 3 or 4 weeks ago means wasting the church of God, destroying the church of God, trying literally to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my nation and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when the one who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not go to advice from any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those apostles before me, but right away I departed to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. Whew! That is a lot of scripture. Okay. In this sermon today, there are some applications that we can make, and we did name them. Stay with it. Galatians gets rolling here pretty quick. This is the setting up of the foundation of the book. Now, next week, I will have for you an outline of the whole book of Galatians so that you can follow along with me, so you get the whole big picture, because it's important to have the whole big picture of the book when you're studying a book, as we found out in Philippians. It's huge. Any questions? Any last questions or comments or any Paul? Paul. Tom. Right on, Paul. Yep. Yep.
So when you're talking about the 12, they're talking about the 12, and it's always referring to Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul was, that's big.
Different deal.
Yep. Guys, see, we're 2,000 years from what Tom was talking about. For you to be a part of something that's Israel was unheard of. Just unheard of. For you to get the same Holy Spirit that the circumcised Jew was getting by faith in the gospel was totally unheard of, because you were without hope, you were without the promises of God, you were without the ordinances, you were without hope, and you were lost. And for Gentiles to become the same partakers, it's totally foreign to the law. And so what Tom is talking about here is the other apostles were for the circumcised. Remember, the Jew, the whole church was, how much Jewish blood was in the first century church? 100%. It was all Jewish people. And it didn't start to come in till who was the guy's name?
Paul.
Nope. Paul's a Jew. Starts with a C. Cornelius. Cornelius. And Peter had to have a sheet drop how many times? How many times was that?
Three.
And what was in the sheet? Yes. That was like a ferret. Okay? Ferret was an unclean animal. God said, Peter, rise up, kill, and eat. No, Jews did not eat ferrets. Nope. So that's a good point, Tom. That's huge. So Paul had a monster, huge ministry to something totally not heard of before. Any others? Okay, let's stand. Okay, next week we're going to be starting to. Now it starts to get heavy. Now we begin to find a lot of application. Then three hits. Then four hits. Then five hits. Then six hits. Five and six are huge applications for Christians in the book of Galatians. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, this study. Lord, we study your word like the Bereans do. Your word says, study to show thyself approved. I strongly believe that this is the way to teach. And I thank you for it. I pray for everybody this week. Lord God, I pray that we would support one another, that we would encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday.